Wanna go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 122 of the big show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Another wrapping up another weekend, getting ready for the work week, or you're in the work week, depending on when you're listening to this. But thank you. Welcome to another episode. I'm recording here Saturday afternoon. Just got back from work, a little overtime. Hot, 32. That'd be Fahrenheit. 90 for our American listeners, so a little warm. You know, it's not, I'm not a heat guy, you know, but at the same time, you know, it doesn't last very long here in Saskatchewan, so enjoy it while we got it, because, you know, it'll be fall and snow soon enough, so, no complaining, but I will say the truck at work, the air conditioner went. Between garbage coveralls and no AC, a little tough. But stay in school, kids. Get an office job. But get the corner office. It's always got air conditioning. But well, gang, what are we gonna talk about today? I will say, last night I wrapped up an interview with a cat. It's about 2.5 hours. Really great interview. We cover his whole career. I'm not going to say who it is yet, though. I'm going to keep you in suspense. Should I give you a hint? I'll give you. It was an OHL guy. Played 10 years in the minors. And wore number 45. I'll leave it at that. But he was a great guest. We cover his whole career. And, hey, I'm not going to lie. He throws some shade on some dudes. It's pretty good. And, I think you guys will really enjoy it. But nice, dude. Great guy. And that was a lot of fun. So that will be coming up, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. I say that because, as I said on Twitter, it is back. The 5th annual Bob Probert Invitational Twitter Tournament. For those listening going, what is that? Well, I'm going to tell you. On Twitter, for the last 5 years, I have done, around this time, give or take, July, August, I do a March Madness style 64 man bracket, and we just vote on it. And it's a 64 of the tough dudes, and we throw it out there and let the people vote. It's a 24-hour process for each round, and each day there's a different round, and we whittle it down till obviously there's one guy left. And way back when, obviously, I didn't put Probert in because Probert would win. So then what's the fun of that tournament? So I figured, well, fuck it. I'll name it after the guy. So, and every year when I release the brackets, it's there, why isn't this guy in it? Why isn't that guy in it? No Troy Crowder. What the fuck? And there's always going to be that horseshit. There's always that guy. But when we get down to it, it's a fun little exercise to do. And like I said, it's the summer. It's dead time. Nothing's going on. And in terms of hockey, and plus, you know, in the last little while, how many people have been talking about, Mike Peluso and guys like that. So, you know, for a week or two, we'll get some old time talk going, and we'll talk about those guys. So it's fun. And, like I said, this is the 5th year I've done it. I will say the first year, I'd been on Twitter for a couple years, and I don't know how many followers I had at the time, maybe a couple hundred, and, whatever, and, a guy, we followed each other, and his name's Taylor, and I'd like to get him on the show. He's going to do some writing. Taylor, if you're listening, get a hold of me, let's get you on here. But, we were talking one way back when, and, I think we each had some booze in us, and it was really late, and we were can't remember what we were talking about. But one of us, that day I had done something jokingly where, like, I had never done it before, but you could do like voting polls on Twitter. So I was like, "Oh, who'd win, Probert or Godzilla? Ha ha!" You know, or whatever. And after, and I had mentioned it to Taylor. I'm like, "Yeah, that was the voting thing was kind of fun." And yeah, you know, a March Madness, and we had talked about March Madness and betting on it and whatever. And I said, "Yeah, you could, I could do one for hockey fighters. Do it on Twitter. That'd be funny." "Oh, dude, you got to do that. That'd be great." And, "Oh, yeah, no, that'd be really great." You know, whatever. And then we yapped about it for a couple minutes, and then whatever, off, you know, went to bed. And I didn't put any more thought into it. And anyway, wake up in the morning. Well, Taylor certainly had, because all of a sudden he's got a list of all these guys, and he goes, "Yeah, here's your list. Let's do the tournament, man. That'll be great," and whatever. So I'm like, "Oh, goddamn, all right. Well, I guess I'm doing it." But yeah, you know, so I picked 64 guys. There was no rhyme or reason to who I picked. I mean, you know, obviously I wasn't putting fucking Gilbert Perreault in it or anything. But I mean, you know, because I think the first year I had some minor, I had Mel in there and Rocky and Minor League Marasty and those guys in there, and we voted on it and whatever. And actually, I'll bring it up. Who I always forget. I saved all the, because I went on Photoshop and made up the bracket and put it out there, but I saved them all. Okay, here we are. Where is it? Bob Probert, the first one. Brian McGrattan won the first one. The second one, Tony Twist won. The third one, Semenko won. And last year's was Bugard. So, you know, how do you... Oh, well, I wouldn't have had Semenko winning. I wouldn't have picked him. But, the other guys, you know, how do you argue with those results, right? So, because it really comes down to who you get matched up with, which is my next thing. Because, of course, people, "Are you going to seed them?" And, you know, "Well, no. Like, how much time do you think I have, guys? Like, come on, you know?" So I said, no. All I did was I took a sheet of paper, wrote 1, 2, 3, 4, 64, and then wrote names beside them. From there, I went on the computer to the random generator site, typed in numbers 1 through 64, and then hit enter. Whatever number it spit out, oh, number 32, look, oh, Clark Gillies. Hit enter again, 21, oh, who's that? Reed Lowe, oh, well, there we go. That match, first round matchup is Clark Gillies versus Reed Lowe. That's all that went into it. There was no master plan on my part or whatever. So this year, I decided on Twitter to, I got my phone out and videoed myself doing the very first matchup of the first round. And it turned out to be, who is it now? Mick Fakoda and Nick Fetiu. And I showed everybody the process, and there you go. So that's how it's done. So there's no, because literally, I've had guys like, "Oh, this was rigged." Like, why? Again, there's always got to be that guy on social media. Unfortunately, well, anything in life, there's always that guy, it seems. But it's like, I said to the one guy, rig what? What would I rig? I don't care who wins. I don't give a shit. It doesn't matter to me. You know? Like, I'm not knocking, like, Ryan Vandenbush, but if Ryan Vandenbush won, okay, then he wins. Yeah, well, I don't give a shit. It doesn't matter to me. My whole point is just to get people conversing and talking about these guys and getting their names out and stuff like that. Then when the ex-players get involved, that gets fun, and they throw in their 2 cents and whatever. And it's just a fun little exercise. I mean, you always get some goofs that take it too seriously. And, I'll just block them. I don't give a shit. Even if you're a longtime follower, if you're going to be an ignorant asshole, I'll block you. Because no one needs that shit. Like, fuck off. Like, if you type in, you think Domi would win, and he types in, and he thinks Twist would win, okay. You know, I don't think we have to start name-calling each other, and, "Oh, you're an idiot," and "You're a moron," and everything else. Like, if that's your opinion, okay, whatever. I don't agree with it, but that's fine. But like I said, you always get people coming in and, you know, doing the old, "He'd destroy, he'd wreck him, no chance." And it's just like, oh, God. It's like Facebook and all over again. But I'm getting into that later. But as anybody who's listened to this show for a while will know, and it doesn't really help when you're on social media. One of my pet peeves is needless exaggeration. So, of course, I don't do well on social media. That's why probably why I end up getting irritated with all these people. Because hyperbole is, I think that's a prerequisite to get onto social media. And it's just, why do you feel the need to you just say you think he'd win or you think he's better? Like, it's not, oh, destroyed, wrecked, killed, murdered, wouldn't, no chance. Oh God, stop. But anyway, here I am getting worked up about it over a Twitter tournament. But no, it's a Twitter tournament. So if you're listening and you're not on Twitter, seriously, just sign, it probably takes like 20 seconds to sign up. Just be fucking anonymous 69 and fourth line voice on Twitter. Just, you know, I don't think you have to follow me to vote. And then just, you know, you'll see the thing and hit whoever you think, and there's your vote for the day. And just come back in 24 hours and vote on the next round, and we'll do it that way. But, so I haven't put the bracket out yet. I haven't released it yet. I will do that on Wednesday. Because I am going to have Steve, old boy Steve, he's been on a few times from, of course, whenprobertwasking.com. He's also the guy in charge of the trying to get Drop Your Gloves website back going. He's got a GoFundMe. I don't even want to yell. I'm not even going to yell at you assholes anymore. I've done it every episode. I'm not going to say. All I know is he's trying to raise. He needs about $10,000 to create the Mecca fight site for all fight fans. Videos, message boards, fight cards, the whole nine yards. It's going to be Drop Your Gloves, but better. And he's trying to recreate it. And we're stuck at about halfway. And we've all given, but I know there's thousands of you that haven't given a goddamn nickel. And no one's asking you to give hundreds of dollars. $10, $5. That's all you got to do. Come on. Like Alec and I always point out in that Enforcer Appreciation group, all these supposed huge fight fans. The group's got 13,000 members. If every one of you assholes gave a dollar, the site would be back up. Like, seriously. And thank you to everyone who has. And again, I know I have tons of players that I talk to. Oh, I used to love that site. Yeah, I'd go on it all the time. Yeah, yet I don't see your name on the donation list. You know. Curtis Gabriel's name's on there. Josh Mazur's name. Kent Spanaforth's name's on there. You know, where's everyone else? There might be more. I haven't looked lately. But at the time, not a lot. You know? Come on. Here, I said I wasn't going to go on about it, and I'm going on about it. But no, I know he's stuck at about the halfway point. So I'd really like to energize this and get a kick in the ass, and let's get going with it. And you know, let's finish it up. We're halfway there. But anyway, I'm going to have Steve on. And we're gonna break down all the first round matchups. Like, they always have, like, the March Madness bracket preview show. Well, that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna have the Bob Probert bracket preview show on Wednesday, and that'll always be fun. And Steve's so knowledgeable with all the guys, and we'll break it down and give our feelings and talk about each of the guys. And I really hope you guys tune in, because I think it'll be a lot of fun and a lot of old school names and because I'm gonna tell you right now, Brady Tkachuk ain't on it. All right, Reeves is about the only active player that's on the list. I'll tell you that right now. So I thought about putting Tom Wilson, but then it was like, there's no point because everyone's just gonna vote against him anyway because they hate him. So it's like it's kind of like a freebie for whoever gets him. So it's like, nah, I won't do that because that's just a waste of a spot. So you know, and there's a million guys you can put in there. So why bother? But I did think, you know, and you can say whatever you want about Ryan Reeves, I get it. But, you know, in my mind anyway, I could have put Lucic in. I didn't do that. I actually completely forgot about him. Because I think Lucic is the only one that can give Reeves a really good fight. Actually, I think Lucic could take him. But I wish they'd fight those two. That'd be a good one. What was I saying? Reeves. Yeah, I mean, I know Reeves catches a lot of shit. There's a lot of people that don't like him. You know, whatever, but I don't know why it's his fault that the league's pussy. Some people seem to blame him for it. I don't know why. You know, it's not his fault everyone else is candy ass. So, you know, I don't hold it against him. But
Yeah, anyway. But yeah, so Steve and I are going to break that down. I think that'll be a lot of fun. So that'll be Wednesday's episode. And then, yeah. And I actually have, I'm trying to record a bunch of episodes and get them in the can, so to speak. Some people will say they should belong in the can. But try to get them recorded because I'm hopefully taking holidays here, going to the lake for a week or so at the end of July, here, early August. And once again, look at this. Man of the people. I'm not going to leave you guys hanging. Despite me, I'll be out. My fat ass will be out on the deck drinking some beers and casting a fishing line in the calm waters. And I ain't going to give a flying fuck about nobody. I can put my phone down. I don't need my phone in my hand 24/7. That will be left at the cabin. I'm going to be out either on the boat or on the out in the hanging. If it's this hot, I'll be floating. My fat ass will be floating in the water. I'll be doing something. You know what I won't be doing? Talking to you motherfuckers. So, yes. But I will not leave you hanging. Like a good teammate, I got your back here. I will pre-record some audio enjoyment for you. And you can, even when I'm not here, I will be here. And you can do, and I'll pre-send them to Isha, the boys of the network, and they can upload them as they see fit. So, see, that's the kind of guy I am. You know, you tune in, voice of the people. what am I saying here? Well, like I said, it's episode 122. I definitely encourage anybody listening to go back, check out the back catalog, talk to some great guys over the years. Morasti, McIntyre, Clark Wilm, Roman Volpat, on and on, Joey Tedarenko. So check out that. Every Wednesday is interview day. Every Sunday is rant episode, Sunday shit show, as coined by Joe Lazzito. So definitely check it out. My last episode, lately when I don't get new guests, if I get a guy that's been on the show before, I've been kind of doing this series. I really enjoy doing it. It's kind of like a 20-30 minute in and out kind of deal. And I call it your five toughest opponents series. And the last episode, of course, was with Chris Waltz, tough dude. Played in the Western League, played in the Alberta Junior Hockey League, then went on to play pro in the infamous Western Pro League and East Coast and U-Haul. And tough dude, ton of fights, and it was fun and a great guest. I highly encourage you to go back and check out his full length interview. Of course, he had Babcock as a coach in Spokane, so he tells some stories there, and goes through the whole deal and had a hell of a career. And he was fun to talk to. But I've had him do it, Joey Tedarenko, Chris Graff, Josh Mazur, Riley Emerson, Sean McMorrow. Yeah, it's been a fun little series. Like I said, a lot of the times, I mean, I would have brought those names up to those guys to begin with in their first interviews, and we have a little talk, but, you know, the second time around, you know, you might hear some same stuff, but you'll get some different stories too, and, you know, and I always just enjoy having the guys back on and talking to them anyway. So, so Chris Waltz was episode 121, and it's a lot of fun. If you happen to be on social media, you crazy bastards, check me out on Twitter. Like I said, as I said for the Bob Probert thing, at the very least, but Fourth Line Voice on Twitter, as well as Fourth Line Voice on Facebook. And Fourth Line Voice on Facebook, it's F-O-U-R, you gotta, like, it's printed out. I couldn't use the numbers, so, yeah, check me out there. It's the same thing as Twitter. I'm putting up pictures and fight clips and, you know, in general, blah. I don't, like, really, on Facebook, I don't really post much, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, verbally, just like, oh, you know, went to Walmart today, and boy, is it hot out, you know? Like, I don't just randomly put, like, on Twitter, I'll do more of that on Twitter. Not, like, went to Walmart, but just whatever, general musings. But Facebook has sort of just, I just put up fight pictures and videos, and as well as, I'm in a few of the online groups, like I said, Alec of Five for Fighting, he started up the, Enforcer Appreciation page, and that's, you know, get in there and, you know, like to banty about some of the discussions of the day, and, some of them's fun, some of them are eye-rolling, but nonetheless, people are talking about fights, so what the hell, hockey hits, fights, and brawls, and, and those type of groups. You know how Facebook groups go. There's always a few yahoos in there that need to be kicked out. It's funny, I'm an administrator in a few of the groups, and I have no problem booting people out. So, yes, I rule with an iron fist. But also YouTube. 2,500 videos on YouTube. Fourth Line Voice YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. Hit the little notification. I try to add fights weekly. Like I said, we're in the process of selling our condo and moving. So, like, we had to... obviously, we're cleaning it up to show it. So, we're down to sort of the bare minimum in the condo. So, all my fight DVDs are packed away in my parents' basement. So, I don't have a lot here to upload stuff. But I have some stuff. And I'm trying to upload as much as I can. Again, 2,500 videos, from junior to pro. They're all sorted, whatever league you're looking for. Thought my wife came home. Sorry about that. Type in whatever league you're looking for. Boom, it'll come up. So check me out. I would definitely appreciate it. And whatever platform you're listening to this, guys, could you rate and review my show? I have so many demands here. Could you rate and review my show? You're on, you know, like I said, you're on Apple or Spotify or whatever you happen to be listening to it on. I'd appreciate it. It helps me out in this, in the, when people do searches or you like this show, you might like, and then like mine will be there, but that's all based on like ratings and votes and stuff. So yeah. So, if, and then of course that exposes me to other, new listeners. So, which is, you know, obviously growing the show and the whole point of the exercise. So I'd recommend doing it, but I'd appreciate it if you did it. Also, more. What more does he want from us? Could you download my episode? Seriously, it's, I know people stream it and whatever, and okay, that's, I'm happy you're just listening to it, really. But honestly, if you could just download it, that's how I get paid. I get paid by the download. But it's also a way to basically see how you're doing and like who's listening and what worked and kind of like what didn't, who, you know, demographics, where, who's listening to what, that type of thing. But you, from streaming, you can't get that. So I need you to download it for the analytic numbers, you know. So if you're listening, you're streaming right now, could you hit stop and just download it? I'd really appreciate it. Help old Darren out, you know. But enough. I will stop asking you favors. And let's get into the stories. What are we going to talk about today? Well, I guess first and foremost, I mean, I guess you got to congratulate the Tampa Bay Lightning for winning the Stanley Cup. I don't give a shit, but whatever. They won. Pat Maroon, what is that, 3 in a row for him? That's pretty cool. You know, I know there's a lot of talk online that, oh, they cheated. I'm not sure what that means. Like, well, they're $18 million over the salary cap, so that's cheating. And it's like, well, they found a way to circumvent the rules. So did they cheat? Well, not really, because it's not against the rules. What they did isn't against the rules. So that's not cheating. Yeah, but it's the integrity. But, you know, you'll get that argument. Well, you know, okay, but at the end of the day, is it at the end of the day? Simple question. Is what Tampa Bay did against the rules? No. Well, so there you go. End of discussion. So you can sit and you can yell, cry, and cheat and yell that they're cheating and everything else. Again, cheating would imply they broke the rules. They didn't break the rules. Now, they found a loophole. That's still not cheating. So, eh. Such as it is. You know, still got to put it in. You still got to stop it. And they did it better than Montreal did. And, yeah, Montreal had a heck of a run, you know, and to come back against Toronto like that and to eliminate those teams. I mean, Carey Price got super hot and carried them, and, you know, hey, no shame, you know. And, yeah, like you said, a heck of a run by all the teams, and, you know, another season done. You know, and I guess the other story coming out of it, of course, is Kucherov's famous their press conference there where he's just a drunk buffoon and yelling and people call it classless and everything else. It's like, well, you go and haul a drunk guy out of the locker room after winning a Stanley Cup and stick microphones in his face. I mean, I don't know what answers do you think you're going to get, but the only thing, I don't give a shit. I mean, it goes back to me saying, what, it was the last episode or the episode before. The fuck do you need to do press conferences for anyway? Who's listening to this shit? You know, I'm like, I don't know. But, like, sitting there listening to Kucherov's press conference, did you get anything out of it? Like, or not his, maybe, but someone else's. Like, did you get anything out of that? Did you care? Like, who gives a shit? But whatever, he got on there and blah, 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 whatever. The only thing that I said was, like, you're not drinking on the ice when you're going around with the cup. So you're in the locker room drinking, cracking, whatever, and woo-hoo with the cup and pitchers and yelling and screaming. And then you go do this press conference. How much time was between that? I don't know, like, what, 20 minutes, half an hour? Maybe? I don't know. But you're fucking hammered in 20 minutes, half an hour? Like, holy fucking lightweights. Like, what, you drink a few Zimas and some, you know, some Berry Blast Smirnoff Ice wine coolers and you're drilled? Like, oh, God, these guys are soft. You can't even drink anymore. Like I said, what did they have? What were they drinking out of the cup? I can guarantee these candy asses probably fucking no Bud Light Seltzer. You know, maybe a Mike's Hard Lemonade Fuzzy Navel. You know, Fuzzy Peach. You know, oh, God. Amazing Apricot Smirnoff or something, or Bartles and James. I don't know what would it, you know, as long as, ugh. Wow. So, I don't know, but whatever. Tampa Bay wins it. You know, first time that White Claw has been drank out of the Stanley Cup, I'm sure. I don't know. Waiting for their other nut to drop. But, there we go. Tampa wins the cup. Woohoo. Another season over.
But Pat Maroon winning three in a row is kind of funny.
As I was mentioning earlier about... What I want to do, I know the NHL entry draft is coming up. Like I said, I can't wait for all the podcasts that are going to, three guys will sit around and talk about players and their strengths and weaknesses of guys they've never watched play. Can't wait. Yeah. Well, Stevie Dangle with his analysis, and let's get Scotty Wheeler in there too. And yeah, he can break down the skating stride of the left winger in Swift Current, you know, never watched him play, but you know. But we're going to... I went on internet TV and watched a period and a half of a Swift Current Lethbridge game once. And, you know, and I wanted to scout him. Everyone's a scout now. Yeah. Just because you own the center ice package doesn't make you a scout. But, yeah. So you're going to have a whole load of draft preview shows. You know, and you can... Oh, this is what we need. Yeah. We really need a left-handed defenseman that can carry the puck and, you know, a good first pass. And, yeah, I want to know his, you know, he excels at skating through the neutral zone in the Eastern time zone on Tuesdays. Excellent shot suppression, gap control. Love these guys. They use all these terms. I guarantee they don't know fuck all what they mean. But, oh, they can throw them, they can throw the cliches around, for sure. Yeah, but, yeah, so look forward to that, your draft previews. I'm just telling you, outside of, like, actual scouts that get paid by teams to go do this, these guys don't know fuck all right? Just keep that in mind when you're listening to these idiots. Or they watched them once at the, you know, at the World Junior tryouts, you know. Like, oh, yeah. But, I'm going to lay it on you. I'm going to do a draft show right now at the end here. But I'm going to go back, and I'm going to look back at the entry drafts over the years, and we'll study the first rounds. We won't go through every round. We'll just, the first, because I think I've done this before, but I think I kind of just went over every round. But we'll look at the first rounds of the drafts from, like, the 80s. And maybe the 90s, and we'll see who the toughness was and who was picked, and we'll break that down later in the show. But I've done this in a few episodes now. I completely forgot my sponsors and everything else, and my shout outs and stuff. So I'll do that now. Of course, as I said, I'm a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. There's over 50 shows on the network. So whatever team, all the NHL teams are represented. So whatever team you're a fan of, there's a show for you. And of course, right now, they're, you know, with the season over, I mean, some of the shows are probably done, because they go in seasons, which I think I should have thought of that. But other shows will go year-round, and of course, they're going to get ready and do a, you know, what their team is, free agents, and what their, maybe what they think their team needs, and who they drafted, or who they want to draft, or blah, 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 whatever. So that'll all be going on the network. So follow your favorite team to see what's going on there. Myself, Terry Ryan, the network has done a bunch of stuff, like with mental health and all that. They're kind of branching out in different areas of the hockey to cover all of the hockey world. And some people might say you stepped in it when you listen to this. I don't really know. I guess I fall into the bitter old guy fight department guy. I'm fight guy. I guess. You know, that'd be my show. I'm not really sure what this is. But, yeah. But, for my off-network friends, of course, we have Dan, Paul, and Kelly at the Obey the Puck Show, Fred and Dave at the Slewfoot Show, couple more current shows. They cover the NHL, the minors, women's hockey, amateur hockey, you know, whatever is topical of the day, they will discuss. And, yeah, so definitely check them out. They're good people. And like I say, I listen to them, so I don't have to watch, but I stay informed. And I know what I'm hip to the scene after I listen to those shows. And of course, Jolt and Joel Lozito. Give me the Lozito! Over at the Coliseum Chronicles. He's an Islander enforcer-based podcast. And he's had Mick Fakota on, Dean Ewan, Strudwick, Bolton, Asham. Check out his back catalog, you'll see. And all things Islanders. Yeah. He just wrapped up. I had a birthday during Joe's last episode. That's how long it was. I think Joe's probably still sleeping after all the research he put in. What is it, like 3 hours that episode? You're killing me, Lozito. Come on. 3 hours? But no, it was very thorough, and it was about time. It was Joe Lozito's top 10 Islander enforcers. And it was a very good list. I agreed with Joe's list. I really wanted to take the piss out of it, but I can't because I agree with them. I probably would have switched 1 and 2. But I get it. Actually, I might have had 3 at number 1. Now that I think about it. But I'm not going to give you their names. You go listen to it. I'm not going to spoil it. But no, it was a great list. And no, Joe always does a great job. And he's thorough. And Joe's been around the game for a long time. Helped out on the Stan Fischler Bad Boys books. For my older listeners, you know what those are. Remember the old Hockey Stars magazine? They used to come out with the Tough Guys issue every year. Joe was a big contributor to that. Did the rankings, picked out a lot of the pitchers, etc. So, yeah, and those are, what, the 90s? So, yeah, Joe knows his stuff. And like I said, the episodes are long, but they're thorough, and he turns over every stone. And, you know, if you're tuning in, and you know, this is my personal feel, and I'm not sure why others wouldn't feel this way. I'm sure a lot of people do, but if I'm going to listen to something, whoever's talking to me, I want them to at least know what the fuck is going on. I'm not saying you have to know every intimate detail of everything, but son of a bitch, I've listened to, as I say, as time is, I don't know, I've every once in a while, my patience, I surprise myself. But it's probably more just the fact I'm at work and I'm trying to kill time. But I will listen to other podcasts. I'm not going to name names, but I do listen to a variety of hockey podcasts. Because I'd like to see what other people are doing. You know, maybe steal an idea or two. And just see what's out there. I don't want to say it's competition, because it's not competition. Not to say I'm not. My point is, like a Washington Capitals or a mental health show or a San Jose Sharks podcast, to me, isn't competition to me, because it's completely two different things. So we really don't have the same audience. Like, I think myself and Joe Lozito would have the same audience, give or take. I know we have a lot of crossover. Or Five for that Mud Show Fight. Well, I don't even want, whoever's listening to Five for Fighting, I don't think I want them listening to my show. I think I want those types of people listening. But you know what I'm saying. We probably have some crossover. Same with The Biscuit. That type of thing. Where it's a fight themed show, yes, you're going to have crossover, obviously, because how many, what, there's three of us. So, yeah, out of this entire podcasting world, there's like three of us. Outside of like, you know, McMorrow and John Scott and like tough guys that have their own show. But you know what I'm saying. Well, they might be a tough guy with their own show, but they're not just interviewing tough guys. I mean, McMorrow's had a lot of tough guys on, but he's also had like a coach on and your name escapes me, but the female goalie there that was in the OHL and stuff. So, I mean, he's had outside of the enforcer realm, so to speak, on his show, whereas I'm strictly, we're just meatballs over here. We're just yelling about fighting and that's what it is. So, like I said, I know I don't have a lot of younger listeners because I'm sure my show gives them nightmares. Although, as one guy said on the UK forum to John Searson, I tried listening to his show, but it's a little intense. Yeah, so I guess I'm a little intense. But, yeah, and I mean, I get it. If you're not really a fight fan or you're on the fence, yeah, I could see my show or Joe being a little much, right? Because they're like, how the hell can you talk about fighting for that long? Hey, that's a reasonable statement. At the same time, I can make the statement, how the fuck can you sit and talk about your team's power play for as long as you do, you know? So, tit for tat, right? Whatever. Whatever floats your boat. Whatever you're into is what you're going to listen to, right? So, there we go. My point is, if you're going to do a show or do something, know what the fuck you're talking about. And I mean, and I've listened to shows, and I've listened to guys that have interviewed players. To me, there's nothing more disrespectful than you ask someone to take time out of their life to sit down and talk to you for an hour or two. And their first question, so where did you play junior? You know, like, seriously, it's called HockeyDB. It's not hard. It's Google. You can find anything you want to know about Google. And it's like, and that, at the same time, I don't really know this guy, so we're going to have him on to talk. If you don't know, what the fuck would you have them on your show for? Like, if you don't know them, and you have no... if you don't know, you clearly have no interest. So then what the fuck would you interview them for? Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't know. That's like me. I'm going to invite fucking, I don't know, some guy for the Winnipeg Jets on my team. Okay, great. I couldn't pick this guy out of a police lineup, but I'm going to have him on my show. Why? I don't know what to say to him. Like, I mean, I could fiddle, fumble, fuck my way through it, but I mean, there's no passion in it. You don't care about it, so who gives a shit? Yeah, so some of these guys, they have these people on their show, and it's like, so obvious. They have no clue who they are, what they've done, what they've accomplished, or care. So what's the point? And then, at the same time, why am I listening to you? Why am I listening to this shit? I don't know. It's like, have some fucking professionalism. I mean, I know I'm not a professional, but you know what I'm saying. Like, have some pride in what you're doing. Like, if you're going to invest this, like, there's a lot of time that goes into doing this stuff. Well, if you're going to put in the time, fucking do it right. Or attempt to do it. I'm not saying I'm doing it right, but I'm fucking attempting to. And I'd like to say, if anybody ever tunes into any of my shows, they might be, oh, he's got an annoying voice, or he says this too much, or he's kind of sounds like a bit of a jerk off. But I don't think they can say, I don't know what I'm talking, like, I don't know what I'm saying. Like, I've studied, I've researched, so I have a clue. You might not agree with what I'm saying. And at the very least, you don't know, sound convincing anyway. But yeah, it's just, like, it's like this whole Stephen A. Smith shit, or like the guy, the little dork TikTok guy that the NHL hired there the other day that I was making fun of. And I saw some other TikTok chick idiot that has all these, the UFC hired her or something to, I don't know what, for what, I don't know, but it's, oh, look, it's the fucking hot blonde chick. Okay. Doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about, but we'll get her to hold the microphone and stand here and blabble like an idiot. But you look good doing it, I guess, so, you know, whatever. But it's like, that shit just annoys me, you know, like, and then she's on there, I only took 3 months of broadcasting and look at me, you know, and it's just like, oh, and I mean, I get why these networks do it, because, yeah, they have 3 million dorks that listen to them on TikTok or watch their stupid lip-syncing TikTok videos. Like, I can't think of any, oh, God, as a society, we're moronic. God, we're morons. Like, just... ugh. You just scroll social media and you, like, our society is just... we're fucked. Like, just... what? Like... put your phone down and go outside. God. Talk to someone in person. As I'm doing a podcast, the irony's not lost on me. This is pretend radio. Like, yeah, I do it for 2 hours a week. You know, other than that, I can converse with you in real life. I don't have my face stuck to my phone. Like, ugh. They're famous. Oh, like somebody was... no, she's famous, brah. Well, you're taxing the very definition of the word famous. Famous would mean I would know who she is. People would know her. I can tell you if I don't even know, can't remember her name is now. I don't even know, Angela Ray? Whatever. I can guarantee if I went up to every guy I work with and said her name, I would be met with a blank stare. So that's not famous. Just saying. So this idea of YouTube influencer creating is a different thing. Influencer or TikTok star. It's just whatever. But hey, like, I mean, good for them. I mean, hey, if I was some hot dude with abs and shit, yeah, maybe I'd do some, I could get some TikTok videos maybe, and you know, but I don't think anybody wants to see, you know, fat guy in little shorts, you know, so I don't think my TikTok videos would be real successful. But hey, if you're a hot chick or fucking buff dude, well then, hey, whatever. You know, the world's filled with morons that'll watch you, apparently. So, whatever, good for you. But nonetheless, do I have to see these people at my sporting events and pretending to talk about shit they don't know, they know something about? You know? No, keep them off my TV. Stay in your TikTok world and we'll be fine. You go over there, I'll go over here, we can coexist. But when you start coming into shit that I'm trying to watch, now you've irritated me. Get lost. But I don't blame her. I blame who hired her. Just like the NHL hiring that little geek. Like, ugh. Or, oh, we got Stephen A. Smith. Yeah, so I get that hockey. You know, I get that fucking moron. Thank God I stopped watching this shit. God. I'm telling you, on social media, even guys that follow me on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever, I've had one guy the other day, it was funny, he brought, oh, didn't you see my post? I'm like, no, I don't really scroll. And he's just like, why? It's too much, man. Like, every time for whatever reason, I don't listen to myself and I start scrolling and I start reading my Facebook news feed, like of the people I follow or my Twitter, I just get mad at some of these people. And it's like, I like talking hockey with you guys and all that, it's fun. But your fucking worldviews, you're fucking insane and embarrassing. And I'm not even going to get to the politics or the anti-vax shit. I'm not going to get into that. But it's like, I don't want to read it. I'm not reading it. So I'm not scrolling because I don't want to get irritated with you. So I don't scroll. So if you ever wonder why I don't respond to your posts or whatever, that's why. This guy was asking why I don't or whatever, but that's why. I try not to, I'll answer my notifications and I post shit and I get in and out because I don't want to get mad. Because social media it will drive me up the wall in 30 seconds. And a lot of times I don't follow my own advice and I scroll, and that's how we end up with episodes like this, because I'll start yelling about shit. And I don't want to do that right now. So, and I've seen a few. And I've honestly, I've said on this before, I'm not going to name names because why? I'm not going to do that. And I still follow them. And like I said, when it comes to hockey, I enjoy talking to them. I respect their careers that they had and what they did and that. But I have no respect for their opinions on everything other than hockey, apparently. Yeah. And I've had guys that I've wanted to have on my show. I was going to get them on my show. And I went and read their timeline. I'm like, well, no, that ain't happening. Because I'm not having him on my show. It's not, oh, he voted for someone different than I. No, it has nothing to do with that. I'm not that childish. Or Vindictive. I don't care about that.
Or they identify as a Republican, or they identify as a Democrat, and I don't give a shit about that. That's not what I'm talking about. You can... Well, that's the other thing. Why do people identify with who they voted for? What does that fucking even mean? But that's where we are right now. Like, you know, and I always say the ones that love to yell, scream about common sense usually have none. You know, that type of thing. But it's just like, you can have your opinion. I'll have mine. That's fine. But when you start getting out in the wheat, on both left and right, it's like the stupidity tries to outdo each other. It's like, stop. And, you know, come on the middle and with the sane folk. Yeah, so I'm not going to get into politics or my stance on the health and safety and all that shit. Because no one tuned in to hear about that shit. All I'm going to say is listen to the experts. And I'm tired of hearing, I'm going to do my own research. Scrolling social media and reading the comment section isn't doing research. Okay? Listening to a professional is the way to go. I'll leave it at that. You can argue all you want, but if that would be the common sense thing, would it not? You love to yell about common sense. What's a common sense thing? I don't know something, so I'm going to go to an expert in the field and ask them. Is that not what we always used to do? Till lately, and then everybody gets stupid. They start reading the comment section and they get their information from memes. Stop. Uncle Jeb's Facebook page isn't where you do your research. God. There, I just said I wasn't going to do it, and now I'm doing it. But it's just that shit just drives me nuts. This is why I don't scroll. It's just, it infuriates me. And most people, I would think. I don't know. Like I said, it's just some of you are too much. So if I don't reply to your posts, well, and then there's some people that just, you know, they're whatever, and I just don't reply because, as I said, I'm not. Maybe it's selfish on my part, and I guess it is maybe, but it's not a personal dig at you. But I'm not reading for that very reason, because I just don't want to get mad at people and kill my, like, I already know social media is a cesspool, but I need it for this show, to advertise the show or what I'm doing and spread the word, and that's my vehicle to do that, right? So at the same time, I don't want to get so disgusted with it, but yet still have to use it, right? So I'm trying to stay positive, and those that bother me, I sort of just mute or whatever, and we can coexist in the hockey world, and if they send me a notification, and we're going to talk about this fight video or what I think of that guy or what I... You know, whatever, we can have that discourse, but yes, I don't want to hear their thoughts on the latest, you know, whatever, mask or anti-mask rule or what have you. I don't care. Okay? To answer your question, you know, I know, to make a long story longer, you know, I know, you ask me what time it is, I tell you how to build a watch, but such as it is. But anyway. Let's get into this draft talk, shall we? The NHL draft. I know it started like in 63 was the first draft, but I'm like, we're not going to go back that far. But because 1980 is so much better. But we'll start in 1980. And like I said, I think let's just scroll through here and, I'm not going to give you a list. Well, it's kind of a list, but I'm not going to do a list this week. But let's just have a look at some toughness that was taken in the first rounds in the draft over the years. We might be surprised at some of the names that come up. I know some guys that went in the first round, but I didn't research this. I'm clicking on HockeyDB right now and going to the draft. So let's have a look at 1980. We'll scroll through. Oh, you had Brent Sutter. You know, it's funny when you look at taken 17th by the Islanders, when you look at the Sutters, man, like, jeez. You just look at their like WHL numbers and stuff with Red Deer and Lethbridge and stuff. Just insane. Like Brent Sutter. Yeah, 68 games with the Lethbridge Broncos, 68 games, 54 goals, 54 assists, 116 minutes. Then he went to he played in the Islanders for 3 games that year and then back to junior in 81-82. Listen, 34 games played, 46 goals, 34 assists, 162 minutes. In 34 games. It's like, are you shitting me? Could you imagine if a dude threw up those numbers today? If the hockey was beating down his door? Oh my God. 21st overall, because of course there was, you know, the 21 teams or whatever. I guess there's more teams than that, maybe. But
Was there 21 teams back then? Yeah, I guess 1980. But yeah, Philadelphia, Mike Struthers, big defenseman. He played only 30 games in the NHL, but he was an OHL guy. And like I said, this is the in the 80s. Played forever at the Hershey Bears, and big defenseman, tough dude, man. I watched some of that old Hershey footage, man. That he got into some wars for sure. But 81. Philadelphia took Steve Smith. That's not Steve Smith at the Oilers. Well, there we go. No one really taken in, no toughness in that year. 82. Yeah, number one, Gordy Kluzak. Big defenseman drafted by the Bruins first overall. Was just unfortunately missed like two full years, and he just had lots of injuries. So we never really saw what he could do, but, big dude, and it's too bad, but, you go back and watch, had some couple good fights with Dave Brown and stuff, and, yeah, unfortunately, we never saw a healthy Kluzak. Number three, Toronto took Gary Nyland, a big defenseman out of Portland. Solid NHL career, 600 games. Tough guy. I mean, no one was going to say he was a big, league champ or anything, but yeah, tough D man. Scott Stevens, taken fifth. There you go. Another Sutter. Michel Petit. There's a guy, actually, you guys, Michel Petit, again, played forever, 800 games. Came out of the Quebec League, defenseman. Wasn't not the biggest guy, 6 feet, whatever, but, honestly, go back and watch. I was watching it, it was an 80s assorted DVD, and I mean, I knew who Petit was and seen some of his fights, but he was on there a bunch of times, and it was like, son of a bitch, this guy looks pretty good. And definitely, check out his fight with Bob Probert. It's really good. Really good. Jim Kite, everybody knows Jim. I mean, everybody Koser, good night, Jim Kite, and all that stuff, and people make fun of him and whatever. But in those early 80 years with the early 80s with the Jets, Kite was a scary dude. And I mean, he was stuck in Winnipeg. So, and we're talking 83, 84, 85, it wasn't like the big people saw all these Winnipeg Jets games. He was sort of like forgotten about out there. But yeah, he gave it to Brown a couple times. And Kite was a tough dude. But fought wide open, and when you're doing that, you're going to get caught, right? But tough guy. 18, New Jersey, Ken Danico. Unbelievable that he played all those years. 1,200 games in one team. Like, is that ever going to happen again? But played in Spokane, Seattle in the Western League, and a couple years in that with the Maine Mariners in the American League, and then boom, New Jersey, 85, 86, and then no turning back, and solid foot soldier, right? Did it a long time, and tough dude. 1983. Vancouver, ninth, Cam Neely. Not that he's an enforcer, but I mean, certainly a power forward, and probably one of my favorite, give or take, probably one of my favorite players for sure. But great career. Unfortunately, with the injuries and old Alfie there, but Hall of Famer, one of my favorite players. The Islanders 16th took Gerald Dittick. Again, another tough D man out of the Western League. Underrated tough guy. Just one of those, like, he was never like the number one enforcer on the team, but just a solid, one of those grit sandpaper D men, if you wanted to play fuck around, he could do you up. And I was always a fan of Gerald Dittick. Edmonton 19, Jeff Bookaboom, again, another big dude, 6'5", like real big. Out of the Sioux. Yeah, did it a long time with the Oilers and with the Rangers. Had the unfortunate, Matt Johnson sucker punching him from the back of the head and putting him out. And just a tough dude. I was never a big Bookaboom guy growing up. I never really liked him. But again, as time, right, we get a little wiser. And, I certainly appreciate him now. But the interesting thing in 83 is, of course, in the third round, the Detroit Red Wings, 46th overall, take a Bob Probert. But you could definitely see what was on Detroit's mind that year. So 46 is Probert. And then 88th, Detroit takes Joey Koser from the Saskatoon Blades. And I don't know if a lot of people know this, but how's this for a stat line? 83-84, Joe Koser with the Saskatoon Blades. 69 games, 40 goals, 41 assists, 258 minutes of penalties. Yeah, Joey was... a lot of shit was going on when Joey was around. But I think what some people don't... So you take Probert and Koser in 83. You know who else they took in 83 the Detroit Red Wings did? 186th overall in the 10th round, Stu Grimson. So, yeah, Detroit was making a statement. How's that one? Yeah, we're going to take Probert, Koser, and Grimson this draft. Like, Jesus. All right. But, of course, Stu did not sign with them. And, in fact, he went to the University of Manitoba for a couple years and played college university hockey after he had played with the Pats. I've always wanted to talk to Stu. In the 1 year, in his first year with Manitoba, he played 12 games. He had 11 points, but he had 113 minutes of penalties. I want to ask him how you get 113 minutes in 12 games in university hockey. Like, even back then, there was no fighting. So, and then he played 29 the following year, and then Calgary took him in the 7th round. Who else did Detroit take that year? Did they take any other toughness? No. But yeah, Probert, Koser, and Grimson. In the 83 draft, yeah, Detroit was loading up. 84 first, of course, Mario Lemieux, first overall. Yeah, I always just, what do you look at his stats? They're like freaking PlayStation numbers, his junior stats. Yeah, like his final year in Laval in junior. 70 games, 133 goals, 149 assists, 282 points, 97 minutes of penalties. Oh, and then we'll play 14 playoff games, pick up a cool 52 points. Man, that's something. Unbelievable. 282 points. Man. Okay, tough guys. Well, Calgary, first, they're Montreal. 8th overall, Shane Corson. Got great power forward. Again, I was never a Corson guy, but again, he's grown on me. Thank you, Chris and Regina, for the Corson DVDs. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? This guy's pretty good. Calgary took Gary Roberts, 12th overall. Another guy, great player too, but tough guy. 5 consecutive 200 minute seasons in Calgary while putting up like 22, 39, 53. Yeah, well, how's that? 53 goals in 207 minutes, you know. But, yeah, played a long time, 1,200 games, and, yeah, real fitness buff. I know he runs a performance center now, and, yeah. I was always a huge fan of Gary Roberts. The Rangers, Terry Karkner, again, one of those sandpaper defensemen. Big guy, played a long time, 800 games with the Rangers, Philly, Quebec, Florida. Was really instrumental in that, and just, I always liked Karkner, man. Toe-to-toe guy, tough dude. Yep. Trevor Steenberg, there's another guy. Tougher guy in the Halifax, in the American Hockey League, 200 minutes. He played 71 NHL games, 161 minutes. So, but yeah, again, tough dude coming out of the minors. And then 20th overall, the Islanders took Duncan McPherson out of the Saskatoon Blades. And, if anybody's ever heard of that story. Again, he was a big, tough defenseman, solid player. Final year point-of-game defense guy, 147 minutes. Played in Springfield, had 200 minutes the 1 year. And unfortunately, he was snowboarding in the Swiss Alps and went missing. And it was a decade before they found his body. And his parents, I remember... Lots of stories about it here in Saskatoon, of course, being a local kid with the Blades and being from Saskatoon, his parents it was just heartbreaking, seeing him on TV and, because at the time it's like, what happened to him? His car was there and he was gone, vanished for like a decade or is it 20 years? I can't remember now, but there was a book about it too. But yeah, you'd see his parents, you just feel so bad, but they unfortunately he was found dead, but if, at least they found him, right? So you can, at least you have that, you can end the story and that, you know, you can, you find, you know, and the, you kind of close that chapter. But, yeah, you'd see his parents on TV and it was, you know, it was just heartbreaking. But yeah, I didn't realize he was a first rounder. I knew he went pretty high, but I didn't know it was the first round. But yeah, Duncan McPherson. 1985, of course, Wendell Clark, first overall with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't need to explain Wendell Clark to you. Dave Manson to Chicago, 11th overall. Yeah, played for the Memorial Cup champion, Prince Albert Raiders. Just a tough dude, not as tough as some people like to think, but out there in social media world. But no, I was always liked Manson, played forever, 1,000 games. Had a hell of a career. And, Manson, tough dude. 86. I know a lot of people had talked about how tough Everett Santapass was. He was a Quebec guy, so I never saw a lot of him. I've seen some of his minor league fights, but he played, off and on with the Blackhawks, and a couple games with the Nordiques. He had a lot of injuries, but, yeah, tough guy. Big dude. Everett Santapass. 1980. I'm probably just boring the shit out of everybody, but I don't know. I always kind of find this stuff interesting to kind of go back and look at the past stuff. And yeah, of course, 87 draft, you have Shanahan second overall, one of the best power forwards of all time. 1,500 games, 1,300 points, 2,400 minutes. Like, I mean, what more do you need to be said, right? Toronto took Luke Richardson. Yeah, big Luke. Took a little while maybe to get going there in Toronto. He never really found his groove maybe, but and then went to Edmonton and Philly and kind of bounced around. But, I always liked Richardson, big hitter. Played a top 1,400 games. I mean, he started right in the league at 18. And, actually, fighting-wise, he got a lot better as he got older and did it more. He was in some great tilts, though, later in his career. Especially in Philly. He had some really good ones in Philly. Islanders, Dean Chenault. Tough guy. Medicine Hat won the Memorial Cup with them. But, yeah, had 200 minutes every year. Again, big defenseman. Played in the Islanders system off and on. A couple years, the Bruins. 200 NHL games. Did some fighting. You guys know who I'm talking about. Brian Marchment to Winnipeg. Long career. 2,300 minutes and 900 games. Marchment, I mean, he would fight. He was actually not a bad fighter, pretty good fighter, but definitely known for being, you know, dirty. Stuck his knee out on a few guys, and but big hitter, and you could tell there was always something going on when Marchment was around. 88, who do we got? Claude Boivin, gritty guy. He was a grit guy. Oh, Francois Leroux, yeah. I remember the Oilers took him. I remember there was a lot of talk. I remember watching the local news. There was a couple features on him, like, cause the dude was like 6'6", and they kind of, and unfairly to him, I mean, they pegged him as sort of like, oh, he's going to be the next terror of the league and what have you. And, he did some fighting, later on. I know when he was at Pittsburgh, of course, he picked up he busted up Tony Twist. That was a big deal. And, I don't know if he ever really found his groove in terms of an NHL enforcer. I don't know if he was ever completely at ease with that. But yeah, played 200 some games in Ottawa, Edmonton, Ottawa, Pittsburgh. Old Francois. 1989. Matt Sundin, first overall. Yeah, Toronto. Scott Thornton. I love Scott Thornton. He was great. Tough dude, power forward guy. 900 NHL games. I think he flies kind of under the radar. A lot of people don't. But, for a first round, I guess if you want to, didn't really live up to the first round billing. But, I mean, just a tough guy. Would go, skate his lane, hit the guys, fight if he had to. Probably a good second, third line guy. But had a couple big, I know the 1 year, yeah, just scrolling here, I was going to say, San Jose had the 1 year, all of a sudden, 26 goals. And, probably got some much needed, probably some first line time. And, But yeah, go back and go and look up some Scott Thornton tilts. Yeah, I mean, he buckled a young Eric Cairns. I was mentioning Gerald Diddick earlier. Thornton and Diddick have a great tilt. Yeah, check out Scott Thornton. You won't be disappointed on YouTube. Doug Zmolik, there you go, another guy. I didn't realize he played 400 NHL games. Got in with San Jose, as part of that expansion draft. He was always there. I don't know if he was the greatest fighter, but he was certainly willing. And, the league needs more guys like that. I wish there was more guys like friggin' Dougie Zmolik out there. Rob Pearson, here's a guy, again, played in Toronto, first pick. I mean, you know, he had the one good 23 goals that year in the 90s, the 92-93, when the Leafs made their big run. I know Toronto fans might get on, whatever, as a first-round pick, blah, blah, blah. But, I don't know, I always liked him. He's a gritty dude. I mean, won the Memorial Cup, played on with Lindros. You know, that's probably obviously what, you know, might have, what's the word I'm looking for? Got enhanced by playing with Eric Lindros. Sorry, I was clicking and my computer kind of just went wonky for a sec. But yeah, 41 games, 57 goals, 52 assists, 76 minutes of penalties, and then 33 points in 16 playoff games. So yeah, I mean, if you're Toronto and you're looking at those numbers, you're like, holy shit, we got a steal here. And, you put him in St. John's, in your American League team, 27 games, guy's got 29 points in 100 minutes. So you're like, oh, we hit the jackpot. We got the next power forward. So I guess you could see why Leaf fans would be a little, but 23 goals, and then the next year 12, and and then he was at 211 minutes. So scrappy dude. I mean, I liked him. You know, and then fortunately kind of flamed out, and played a few years in the IHL, and then got on with things. But yeah, I was always down with Rob Pearson. He was cool. And then Boston took the guy, Shane Stevenson, and I've had a few guys on. My last guest, Chris Waltz, talked about playing with Stevenson. I've had a few guys mention him, just kind of a legendary dude and, maybe coming out of the OHL had a lot of potential, but, maybe fell to the trappings of money and, fame as a youngster and never really panned out at the NHL level, but, bounced around the minors and it was one of those, just there for a good time, but when he wanted to turn it up, he was a hell of a player. And but I've heard, an undercover tough guy, like sneaky, that could really hang one on you if you weren't paying attention. But, so Shane Stevenson, I was mentioning that we follow each other on Facebook. I want to get him on the show maybe, and he could tell us some of these stories. But, that'd be pretty cool. But 1990, maybe we'll do this, we'll wrap this up. Of course, this was the famous, I remember this is the year Score hockey cards. Everybody was chasing Eric Lindros and, during the big hockey card boom in the 1990 Score, and you'd get all the first round pick cards and stuff. But man, what a first round! Unbelievable the talent was in that draft. And man, Owen Nolan, first overall, again another guy. 1,200 career games, 800 minutes, 885 points, 1,700 minutes. Sneaky tough guy. They had Nedved, Primo, Ricci, Yager, Sador, Hatcher, Stevenson, Brad May. Keith Tkachuk, Martin Brodeur, what a first round, man. But, I kind of go down it. Montreal, again, Turner Stevenson, big Western Hockey League kid out of Seattle, was a power forward in the Western Hockey League. I mean, point-of-game player, 62 games, 61 points, 57 games, 63 points, but, 276, 222 minutes. In his final year in Seattle, 58 games, 20 goals, 300 minutes. Yeah, 6'3", 220, and, again, played a long time, won a couple cups with New Jersey, and had a hell of a career, 600 games. I mean, I don't think he turned into, he wasn't super goon or anything, but, a couple solid fights, he was always in there. Of course, Brad May in Buffalo. I love Brad May. I was a big, massive Brad May fan. Again, first round, and you go back, you look at his numbers. I mean, Brad May, 1 year, 91 points the 1 year in junior, 223 minutes, then got hurt with his knee, but I know he had 34 games, 37 goals, 93 minutes of penalties, and then he ended up with 25 points in 14 playoff games in Niagara Falls. But Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I think, you know, obviously Buffalo thought, you know, power forward type. And then the first couple of years, you know, 11 goals, 13 goals, 18 goals, 15 goals, but with 300, 200 minutes of penalties, you know. So, I mean, he was fighting dudes, and him and Ray and Barnaby, like, just the Donnelly and Buchner, like, Jesus, what a tough team, man. Ted Nolan is the coach, and I loved the Sabres back then. But, yeah, I always tell the story about, of course, Brad May playing for Team Canada in the World Juniors when it was here in Saskatoon. And, yeah, I was a Mayday fan after that. And of course, the famous Mayday goal, right? In the playoffs against the Bruins. And yeah, I was a massive Brad May fan. Brad, I want you on the show. I've talked to him about coming on the show and he's like, yeah, you know, I'd like to get him on for sure. Well, there you go. 17th, Edmonton, Scott Allison, you know, unfortunately, you know, played in the minors and stuff. And, again, big dude, you know, played in PA and Moose Jaw, and, you know, final year in Moose Jaw, 72 games, 37 goals, 238 minutes, you know, and then unfortunately, you know, played in the AHL, and just, I think he was one of those guys, I can't remember who I was talking to about this, it was a guy who played with him, and I think it was just one of those, he's kind of a tweener, like, you know, probably wasn't a good enough skater and stuff for a skilled guy, and I don't say this to be mean, but kind of wasn't tough enough or didn't have that mindset of the enforcer. So it was like sort of you're in no man's land at that point, right? So, yeah, unfortunately it didn't pan out for him. But he sort of found a new lease on life over in Europe. And I know he played with, you know, Sheffield for a long time and Nottingham and, you know, and did really well over there. So, you know, he found life in the UK. But yeah, long pro career and yeah, but solid junior player and yeah, Sean and then right after that Sean Antoski by Vancouver. Again, some people will snicker at a first round pick, but you gotta remember again, this is the early 90s. You gotta put yourself in that mind. I always say you gotta put yourself in that time period, my mindset. In the early everyone was looking for Probert. So you got these guys. And that's the thing. Sean Antoski, you look at his final years in North Bay. Here's a guy at 6'4", 230, 59 games, 25 goals, 200 minutes and penalties. So right there. And then your first year in the minors, he's in the IHL with the Milwaukee Admirals. 62 games, scores 17 goals, 330 minutes. The next year, again with the Milwaukee, 52 games, again 17 goals, 346 minutes. So you're thinking, if you're the Vancouver the Canucks brass, holy shit, we got Probert here. You know, I know when, like, in terms of fighting, like, he wasn't knocking dudes up, but he was fighting everybody, and he's a tough dude. He's scoring 17 goals in the IHL, so he's got a clue with what's going on. So, you know, and then he gets with the Canucks, and, you know, unfortunately, they didn't really play him much, and then he was in Philly, and, you know, injuries and what have you, and then, yeah, just unfortunately didn't, you know, 183 NHL games, 600 minutes, so, I mean, he'd fight and everything, but, yeah, it just didn't work out, right? But, but I know you say some of these guys and people sort of snicker and it's like, no, these guys were legit in the NHL for sure. Or in the Aaron Jr. So at the time, like I said, everyone's a genius with hindsight, right? And you look back at this, oh, why didn't they take Yager first? You know, well, yeah, and oh, like Brad May and Antoski and Scott Allison got taken in front of Keith DeChook and Martin Brodeur, you know. And then, oh, what a bunch of idiots, you know. Well, yeah, with 30 years hindsight, oh, yeah, you're 20 years hindsight, you can say that shit. But at the time, I mean, Keith DeChook's playing, you know, he's at Boston University, and, you know, he's middle of the road, you know, like 36 games, 40 points, you know, like, whatever. Would you take, like... You know, it's not like those are like earth-shattering numbers, you know. And meanwhile, I'm telling you about Brad May getting 90 points and 300 minutes of penalties in the OHL. So it's like, yeah, okay, you know, you can see it, right? You could, but of course, as history has proven, and then of course with Brodeur, you know, I don't need to sell you on Martin Brodeur. You know what I mean? So yeah, but like I said, everything in hindsight and whatever, but. Oddly enough, in that draft, also in the just early second round, 25th overall, of course, the Philadelphia Flyers took Chris Simon. And, of course, he would be later famously traded for Eric Lindros. But, yeah, again, Chris Simon, another guy. There were some off-ice issues here and there with him. But, you know, in the OHL when he was in Ottawa, 57 games, 36 goals, 146 minutes. His final year in the Sioux, you know, 33 games, 20 goals, 160 minutes of penalties. So it's like, you know, 13 points in 11 playoff games, 50 minutes. Dude, 6'4", 200-some pounds, looks like the Undertaker, knocking dudes out. So, yeah, I mean, you could, yeah, he was the real deal. And, of course, again, had a hell of a career and, you know, played 700 games and 300 points and 1,800 minutes. And you know, and that's with bad shoulders. So, I mean, that which really limited his fighting. So, there you go, guys. That's pretty dry, I know, listening to that. So I won't go on any further. But, yeah, that's 10 years of the NHL entry, first-round picks. And you can see who the tough guys were taking in those rounds. And, you know, maybe next week or whatever, I'll go, you know, 1990 to 2000. And then, I mean, completely honest, after the 2000s, I mean, you know, who are we? There wasn't much in terms of toughness going out, I don't think. Not like that, but... yeah, so that was just something I was looking the other night. Well, when I was looking up my guest, I was looking up his draft thing and just talking about that. And then it was like, you know what, with the entry draft coming up, let's go back. And I just started kind of thinking about the draft picks and all that. And then, it was kind of interesting to see who went in which draft and where and that type of thing. So thank you for tuning in and listening to that. You know, I don't know, it might have been as exciting as a friggin' accounting seminar, but... I don't know. Like I said, I find that kind of stuff interesting. You're going back and I even just like scrolling HockeyDB, just looking at old stats. Like you go back and look at like the 70s and 80s and like their junior stats. It literally is Xbox numbers. You know, guys who played 70 games, putting up 85 goals and like 310 minutes of penalties and shit. It's just like unbelievable. You know, so it's like when you create yourself in the old Sega Genesis days. But, I think I've yapped long enough, so I'll let you guys go. But tune in this Wednesday. Like I said, myself and Steve are going to break down the Bob Probert Invitational bracket. And I hope you guys all get out and vote for it next Saturday, July 17th. High noon, I say. I already know I'm going to be working that Saturday morning. So basically, as soon as I get home, I'll put it up online, the first round matchups to vote on. So I hope everybody checks it out. But, all right, guys, I'll shut up and get out of here. I hope you, let's attack the week. I hope you have a good work week, wherever you happen to be listening to this, on your commute, in your desk, in your cubicle, on the train, wherever, in your earphones, left, right, wherever it is. I always appreciate you guys. I know I rant and rave and yell, but at the end of the day, no, I really appreciate anybody that takes the time to listen to my show. It's great. I love it. And the interactions, I yell a bitch and rant and rave about social media, but you know, the private messages I get are just the everyday general back and forth, conversations I have with you guys. It's always fun. And it makes, it does make social media worth it to, with the people I interact with, I have my positive interactions with and talk hockey with and old fights and that type of thing. It's been great. So, so if you're on social media, drop me a line, and it's always fun to hear from you guys. But and thank you. There we go, guys. Another episode done, and all right, I will let you guys go, and we will talk to you on Wednesday. Thanks, everybody.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?